praying and going to study over what I had already been working on for teaching, for worked on it all week long, the Lord just led me in a different direction. So between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, I studied on something else, what I felt like the Lord wanted me to teach on this morning. So I'm going to try to present that to you the best way that I can. This morning, I want to talk about who is Jesus. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. The name Jesus or Jesus Christ is known throughout most of the world. Millions who believe on Christ reverence his name, and that word reverence means to honor or respect. Scripture exalts him as our King of kings and Lord of lords. The Old Testament prophesied about his coming as the Messiah. The Greek language translates Messiah as Christ. You know, many unsaved people only know his name as a curse word, for they do not know nor do they understand who Jesus is. Look in Isaiah 53, and we'll start in verse number 1. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, of man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from the judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In verse number 3, it says he was despised. That word despised means to regard as neglectable, worthless, or distasteful. And then that word rejected, it means not accepted. And acquainted with grief, it means with troubles. Many do not know who Jesus is. When the name of Jesus Christ was mentioned in a world history class, a student asked if Christ was Jesus' last name. The teacher said perhaps, for neither she nor the class knew the answer. Many people in church do not understand who Jesus is. The word Christ is from the similar sounding Greek word Christos, which describes the divine Son of God, the anointed King, and the deliverer of all people in a way that no regular person, prophet, or judge, or ruler could be. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 41. It says in John 1:41, it says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." A guest speaker asked a youth group in a Bible-believing church, "Who is Jesus?" They said, "He is our Savior." The speaker said, "Yes, Jesus is our Savior. Is he God?" And they said, "He is our Savior." And again he asked, "Is Jesus God?" They responded, "He is the Son of God." The speaker then repeated, "Is Jesus God?" Again, they said, "He is our Savior." It was evident these young people who came from strong church families did not really know nor understand that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus is God. Jesus is the one person in the Trinity of God. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And then look back at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. It says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I not been so long time with you, and ye hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believeth me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." God the Son left heaven. Jesus was not created. He has always existed and is eternal. 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus came to live on the earth in a human body. For about 33 and a half years, he was both God and man. As people use words to communicate with others, likewise, God uses a word to communicate with man, and that word is Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then look at John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus wasn't just created, he has always been. Look in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall and shall call his name Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel means God with us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Virgin Mary was told by the angel, "Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Mary was only the mother of Jesus' earthly body, and Joseph was his stepfather. In heaven, Jesus had no mother, for he is God. As the Son of God, he had no beginning and will have no ending. He is eternal. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "When he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Jesus' earthly body was 12 years old, but Jesus is ageless. He is Alpha and Omega. Look at Revelation chapter 1:8. In 1:8 it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." To know what God is like, we look at Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Jesus puts on flesh. Jesus laid aside his royal robes and deity and put on human flesh to identify with mankind. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As a man, Jesus permitted himself to suffer and be tempted just like all mankind." Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 8 says, "Jesus humbled himself." Jesus never boasted or exalted himself, and usually referred to himself as the Son of Man, which appears about 82 times in the Gospels. It's in 32 times in Matthew, 14 times in Mark, 26 times in Luke, and 10 times in John. The Son of God is only mentioned in the Gospels 27 times, 8 times in Matthew, 3 times in Mark, 6 times in Luke, and 10 times in John. Why is Jesus called the Son of Man? The common understanding is that the Son of God implies his deity, and the Son of Man implies his humanity. He was a son of man, that is, a human being, and he is the Son of God in that he has always existed as the eternal begotten one who comes forth from the Father forever. He always has and always will. He is the second person of the Trinity. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. Thus, he is human. So that's the common understanding. He is both both divine, and he is human. Two natures in one person. In Jesus' growing up years, he lived in Nazareth when his earthly body began to be about 30 years of age. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which it was the son of Heli." When Jesus was about 33 years of age, he went to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was preaching for the people to repent and prepare for the Messiah. As they did, John baptized them. When Jesus asked John to baptize him, John did. And God the Father's voice spoke from heaven, saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." The Spirit then led Jesus into the wilderness where Satan tempted Jesus 40 days. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. No, Jesus never yielded to Satan's temptations. You know, the devil, he's got our number, and he knows exactly what our temptations are, and he dangles that stuff in front of us every single day. And that's why we have to get up every day, and we have to put on the whole armor of God in order to be able to stand and fight against the wiles of the devil. King among his people. Long ago, when kings ruled their countries, the story is told of a king who wanted to live among his people as an ordinary man. He traded his crown and kingly robes for a poor peasant's clothing like people in his kingdom wore. In disguise, he could walk through the villages and countrysides, and no one would know he was their king. Stopping at a peasant's cottage, he said to the woman, I'm looking for food and lodging. Have you any work that I could do? Not knowing he was the king, she pointed to a distant field and said, Go ask my husband. He might be able to use you. Her husband often hired wandering strangers. Thus the king began to serve the peasants. That word peasants means he's a laborer or somebody of low social status. One day the king saw soldiers passing through the village leading a boy in chains and treating him roughly. The king stepped forward and demanded, What has this boy done? Where are you taking him? What do you care what he's done? The soldiers replied, He's a thief, caught in the act of stealing grapes from the king's vineyard. We are taking him to prison where he belongs. The king looked on the boy and said, I grant him full pardon and command you to release him at once. The soldiers laughed. Who are you to command us? Only the king can grant pardon for this crime. They started pushing the king aside, and the king said with authority, I am your king. The soldiers were confused as they looked at this ragged man standing before them. You, our king? Ha! You couldn't be a king. You don't even look like one. The king reached in his shirt, pulled out a gold ring, which had a royal family signet, and immediately proved his royalty. The soldiers bowed and apologized for their mistake. Those watching were shocked. We did not know you were our king. You've been living in our midst, and we never knew who you really were. You know, Jesus, you know, he ain't physically in our midst, but spiritually he's in our midst. But do we know exactly who he really is? Jesus in our midst, this somewhat parallels what Jesus did when he came to earth. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In verse 9 it says, That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus, the King of the universe, laid aside his glory to walk among men some 2,000 years ago. In John 1:14 it says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Many people at that time never knew he was the Creator and King. To them, Jesus was just another man. But his words, his healing power, and many miracles proved his deity to those who believed on him. Jesus, the living God, was in their midst. That word deity means supreme being, one exalted or reverend as supremely good or powerful. And we'll end with this. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the true vine. He's our Savior. He's the resurrection and life, the mediator, the Lamb of God, the High Priest, the Good Shepherd, our Deliverer, Bread of Life, Author, and Perfecter of our faith. He's the Lord of all. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Word of Life, Word of God. He's the Holy One. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the light in this dark world that we live in. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is God. Lord God, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth, Lord. We thank you for just allowing us to come out to your house this morning, Lord, and just to study your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for him dying on the cross and being buried, Lord, and in 3 days rising again, Lord. I pray that you just be with the next hour, Lord. I pray that you just be with Brother Drew as he brings the word this morning. And I pray that you be with the singing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.